Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Everybody over there.
Singing didn't help.
Everybody said singing. like watching The Voice, and then they're all facing away. It's like going, I think I need to look back. I need to see what this man is doing.
Well, see, that's the way to hack The Voice, to game The Voice, yeah, is to not sound so good, yeah, but to sound so baffling that they're forced to turn around just to put a face to whatever's going on.
Yeah. I guess if the guy who had done that song, that bother about the dang 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 da dang da dang da ba 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 da da ba 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 da da, you know that guy?
Yeah, no. But I wish I did. He's had a crap.
Or the one of the guys who would have done the, you know, that pick up your papers and your trash. Well, you won't get that trash.
Even that, though, I think is too close to
singing,
you know, for what I'm trying to achieve.
Sure.
But I think we could write this down as a sketch, as like people trying to game The Voice. It's gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Where you try and find other ways to win that aren't the traditional path to success.
Also, is that a regular word?
I think gamesmanship is like a thing that was invented by, obviously, the English cricketer W.C. Fields, and he was the first one who tried to make like a sort of a science or like a something or other out of like all the stuff like sledging or like psychological.
Yeah, well, I have a book that I got from a secondhand bookstore. Which is all this stuff where it's like, tell them that you're feeling a bit sick so that if they are beating you, that's just, you know, it
takes away from their feeling of achievement.
Yeah. There's some things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, I think that's great. I'm going to get a t-shirt printed that just says, I'm feeling a bit sick. And then that is my sort of default level. Everybody who sees me, they just see that disclaimer.
And then
they lower their expectations.
And they don't feel good when they beat you.
They don't feel good.
Even though...
Because every interaction is a competition, Alistair. You know this.
Every interaction is a competition.
Every interaction is a competition of some kind. And it's important that even if I don't win, the victor doesn't feel any satisfaction.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the podcast where we come up with five sketch ideas.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall. And today we didn't have enough time to do our intro before we were deep into sketch idea territory.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the demon, the sketch idea demon, overran us.
The sketch idea demon.
Yes, overran us.
I think we're the ideamans.
We are. We are a couple of ideasmans, crusty ideamans.
Crusty ideamans.
That'll be when we take this show to arenas.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's flames shooting out of pipes.
And we're standing on the top of dirt mounds.
Yeah.
And coming up with...
We do all the sketch ideas while jumping over wrecked cars.
Or
erect cars.
Or climbing carefully over erect cars. erect with anticipation,
exactly,
for the next sketch idea.
Yeah, an erection.
Erection.
Yeah, that's somebody after we came up with the idea that any part of your body could get an erection when it wanted something, someone tweeted us that their ears were erect with anticipation for the new episode.
You know, not long after that, a big tweet went viral about
teeth. I saw that. Teeth. About teeth. Flaccid teeth.
Flaccid teeth getting erect when you were hungry.
But we absolutely predated that. You can check the timestamps.
Absolutely. And it was a similar thing to, you know, if that idea is out in the universe, like the light bulb, you know? Mm. I think there was something in the world that we had gotten to a place where all the information, you know, was just perfect so that people could finally put those two pieces together.
Yes.
Hardness was, and want were finally together, you know, for different things other than just sexual penetration.
I mean, that's a positive spin you've put on it. I'd like to take it down the angle of, like, we're Isaac Newton. He's Gottfried Leibniz.
Yeah.
This is the discovery of calculus.
Yeah.
Probably an equal in importance sort of discovery. And we're going to spend the rest of our lives arguing in the literary papers, in the scientific papers over the origin of
Newton really, really dismissed Leibniz. And he was like, oh, this guy probably doesn't know what he's talking about. But I think also Leibniz didn't quite get it published for a long time.
Neither did Newton. In fact, I think Leibniz probably published some of his stuff before Newton actually did.
Yeah, right.
So I think you're exactly wrong.
Anyway. Well,
now we have a new dispute.
Yeah. this equals the Newton Leibniz dispute. Who remembers correctly?
So once again, we failed to book the proper booth for the podcast, and we're just sitting in a big cold warehouse room, looking at each other's bodies with not a desk between us, and you know.
I think. Do you think one day we should do the podcast completely nude? Right.
I think it's inevitable.
The microphones, these lapel mics.
Yes, clipped to our foreskins.
Clipped to our chairs, chest hair.
Chest hairs. Okay.
Chest hairs.
Sorry, you don't have a foreskin.
That's right. Thank you. But we can clip it to that sort of, like, you know, the little roostery dangly bit that kind of goes under the penis?
Yeah.
I guess chickens have gobble. That too. The turkey gobble.
Yeah.
It's just a little thing. Yeah. But you could clip it to that. But then obviously we would have to then have our heads under each other's penises. But it would still have that kind of radio quality where the mic is kind of hanging down. But how do we both, it's like an MC Escher.
We're 69ing, aren't we?
I know, but we'd one still then has to be over the
talking
top.
Talking into each other's penises.
No, under.
Under each other's penises. Yeah, okay. You're right, because to get into it, whichever way we configure this, somebody's penis is always going to be dangling down over the microphone, obstructing it, which is not what we're trying to achieve.
No.
So...
But, you know, you could have it sort of pointing out so that the mic kind of is just pointing out near the end of the penis.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just kind of penis hole and then little gap and then mic.
Mm.
And then we could finally find out if any air ever comes out of there.
Well, I mean, clothing noise is an issue for microphones. You're probably getting some now from our swishy jackets.
Swishy jackets.
So, and this is a thing that the audio people are always up against. But, and so... From their point of view, nudity is probably great, but then where do you clip the microphone?
We've solved
that problem. Onto the turkey gobble of
the penile turkey gobble.
Now, how do you get the two mouths close to the microphones? Well,
you've already got your penile mouth close to it.
I think we'd have to be spinning. I think we'd have to be constantly spinning at a high velocity.
But then, this is the problem though, Andy.
Yeah.
If we're spinning, then what we're dealing with is also wind noise.
Wind noise in a vacuum.
So we have to be spinning in a vacuum. Okay.
No, but then there's going to be no sound for the microphone to pick up.
Yeah, that's true.
This is harder than I thought.
Well, my fear is that if there's wind sound, then we have to put sort of like one of those dead cats or one of those fluffy things over the microphone. That will then tickle the penises. Possibly, you know, then we've got...
But actually, that's a good solution. If the penises were erect, then they'd move away from the microphones, clearing up that...
Well, no, they wouldn't move away from the microphone, but the microphone would move further away from the body.
Yeah.
Allowing us to not be in such close quarters.
Yeah, yeah,
but
that's true.
But closer to an erect penis. Anyway, I hope this one, nobody's playing this podcast out loud to a group of potters like this happened once.
The vicar came around for tea.
I decided to put on the Two in the Think Tank podcast.
What's more stimulating to our conversation than a bit of intellectual discussion between friends?
Mm. Couple of wholesome boys.
Much to my horror.
Do you think we're a couple of wholesome boys?
You can
boys?
Imagine my disgust. Wholesome.
Whole boys? Whole boys?
Whole foods, boys.
Which are foods that are, you know, full
of holes?
Full of holes. No, but like, you know, they're full... They're full of goodness, right? Mm. Couple of whole boys.
Mm-hmm.
Holman?
Holyman?
No, we don't want to go with a Holyman.
No, all right.
All right, we got to come up with some sketch ideas.
Okay, well, we were talking about before the podcast. Once again, we went and had a coffee, and we had a bloody good riff in the cafe.
Okay.
And I liked the idea that you mentioned about the movie Crank.
Okay, yeah, but so how did we get to it? We got to it... I think you were saying something about being... Oh, that's right. I was saying how my boy didn't sleep very well last night, and you were saying that your boys slept really well.
Yeah.
Better than they have in a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And then you were saying, oh, sorry to sort of talk about being really happy when you're... You know, because he'd commented on how downtrodden I seemed when I came out. But it wasn't it wasn't downtroddenness. It was just tiredness. I came home from a gig very late. This is all not important information, but,
It's
know,
context.
It's the context, you know. Anyway, then I think I somehow misspoke in the way that I normally did, where I was trying to make a pun. I don't know why I've gotten so deep into pun making.
It's a sign of brain damage.
Really?
Mm,
oh, well, that's good. It's probably from all the lack of sleep.
Maybe. There you go.
And then I think I was trying to make a... I was trying to say that it was his...
You've remembered this conversation in such detail, Alistair. It's amazing you're as brain damaged as you are.
Yeah, I know. Well, imagine what I could do if I was back at my full capacity like I was...
It's terrifying.
Yeah. But then again, we've seen me at running at full speed, like in full capacity, and I don't know if there's that much improvement. The damage could be helping.
Well, I think one of the things about comedy is that it's about failure.
Yeah.
And so running at full capacity is probably less than full capacity for you, you know?
Absolutely.
You want to be at least 40% fuck up at all times.
You know, I've tried to bring that into my lack of slickness on stage in my stand-up and just accepting that a comedian shouldn't be slick and shouldn't be, right? But then I think it's also held me back.
Well, I think the problem is that you haven't just taken it into your stand-up. You've also taken it into your
preparation,
your social media presence. Mm. You're method acting as yourself.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm having to really look, we're getting too far away from this idea.
Yeah, sorry.
So the idea, so then I kind of tried to say this is the day of you're celebrating your joy dependence day, right?
That's right. There was some weird bullshit about
on independence.
The amount of joy that I had. And yeah, so anyway, the bottom line is we were talking about somebody who needed to maintain a certain amount of joy in their lives at all times, like the movie Speed, where if you're less than a certain amount joyful, then you explode. But that's also like the movie Crank, where Jason Statham has to be a certain amount excited?
No.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, I think in that one.
It's my phone.
In that one, he has to, I think it's either adrenaline or it's heart rate or something like that, and he has to keep it at a certain rate.
Yes.
Or else he dies or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? Which is kind of like the human version of exploding.
Mm.
Right? Mm. Really, exploding doesn't matter if you're already dead.
Well, I mean, it depends on where you're, where you are. You know, if you're in a room with a lot of linen,
yeah,
I can imagine that, you know, someone's going to have to clean that up.
Boy, that'd be convenient, though. It's already...
Full of linen.
Like,
you just bundle that up.
Yeah, I mean, you're already... It's half mopped. Because what you're really wanting is
the
to
room
get
is mop. It's like that joke about why don't they make the... why don't they make the airplane black box? Why don't they make the airplane out of the same stuff as the black box? Why don't we just make the room out of mop?
Out of mop. Why aren't kitchen floors just made out of mops? It seems crazy.
Is that a sketch?
Yeah, I think that's a sketch idea.
Oh, God. I mean, I'd like to try and do that on stage, but it would. I wonder how much it depends for its... I wonder if you could do the joke about the black box as a setup to your joke about a room being made out of mops.
I guess answering that door, and I have to go and do so.
All right, let's just pause the podcast. And we're back. It's now several years since we recorded the first part of this podcast.
Yeah,
obviously, at the door was Alistair's long-lost... uncle.
Yeah, I now have a beard for the first time.
Alistair has a beard. He got it from his uncle.
Yeah.
And
it's really nice.
It's like the family beard.
It's very full and rich. Unlike no one in my family.
And I nothing's happened to me. I was just sitting on the chair for
Well, your
couple
boys
of,
have aged without you.
They have, that's true. I've missed a lot and God knows how they're doing. But I called Carly and I said I want her to move on and she's found someone else. And
Oh, that's so nice for her. And nice of you.
It's the best, it's really the best outcome for her.
Do you know whether or not the person's better than you?
I said find someone better than me.
Oh, great. Well, that's nice. At least... Yeah. That'll be comforting for you to know that both there's someone better than you.
And they're looking after my kids as well. So
exactly. So that's, I mean, in a way it would have been a crime for you not to do that, right? Because if there was a way that somebody...
There was someone who could be better, who would be raising my children. Yeah. Me continuing to raise them is really a form of abuse.
Yeah, it's a crime probably.
We all want the best for our children.
Yeah. And me not being there...
is that best? And I want to work every day to make that happen.
Mm.
Is that a sketch? We haven't finished writing the one down from a couple of years ago.
Why don't they make the whole floor out of mop?
Yeah, okay.
I think we can go back to that later and see if we can go deeper into it.
Sure, if you like. I mean, why don't they make the whole mop out of floor?
Well, why don't they make plates out of dishwater?
Or food.
Yeah.
Or both, right? Yeah. Dishwater on the bottom, food on the top.
I guess if you froze dishwater.
Yes.
Like, you know, then you know it's clean. Right? And then you just...
Dishwater, probably the least clean thing in the universe.
It doesn't have to be used dishwater.
Oh, hello.
You know? So every plate is like... Like that first hand dip into the
fresh water,
into the sink of.
Why don't they make the food out of shit, human feces?
Yeah, I'm into it.
I feel like we might have stretched the idea. Anyway, Alistair, why don't they make the whole premise out of conclusion?
out of like hasty conclusions.
Yeah.
Why
don't they make the whole setup out of climax? And that feels like what they did with the movie Crank.
Yeah.
Which is what we were talking about.
I mean, even the more recent Mad Max film felt like it was it was about 90 minutes of climax.
Yeah, the real tantric kind of thing.
I think pigs orgasm for like over 45 minutes or
something.
Yeah, like
I think I saw that in Roger Ebert's review. He said, a real pig orgasm of a film.
Two pig orgasms up. Pig dicks up? I don't know.
Curly tails up? I don't know.
I guess that's how you would know if they were interested in...
Do those tails become...
Erect.
Erect when they're interested in... being... Well, erect.
Ducks have a curly dick.
They do.
Pigs have a curly tail.
Yes.
I don't know if there's any.
Do they ever get tangled?
Do they ever get tangled? Do they ever open up a bottle of wine?
Does a duck ever swoop low over a pig pen? And
like a lady duck. Oh, of course, because that also would be a
No, Drake. No, it's a man duck. It's a horny man duck swooping low over a pig pen. Man duck.
Yeah,
it is. Sorry, Vicar.
All right.
I want to go back to the
crank
idea.
That's right.
Which was you have to maintain a certain amount of joy. But we can do this with any emotions. Like you can make the whole floor out of anything, right? We are making this premise. You've got to have a certain amount of. I like the idea of comfort. You know, somebody has to be a certain amount comfortable at all times.
I'm picturing.
Then it's really the opposite of the movie Crank.
I'm picturing Jason Statham.
Yes.
Right. Having to
be
maintain
joyful.
A certain amount of joyfulness. Right?
Because I think that's a thing that you don't see him act that. You don't see that emotion on his swarthy face.
Exactly. And, like, him having to take cocaine and have sex publicly with a woman and things like that, that doesn't seem like that's that big a stretch for him.
No.
You know, with in this movie Crank. Now, if Crank instead was him having to be joyful, and it's one of those things where you find out you have to be a certain amount of joyful,
yes,
and then you can't really think about it that much because thinking about how you have to maintain joy isn't a joyful thought.
No,
if anything, it's a real burden.
Could be stressful.
So you have to. Continue driving in that direction, but forget about it at the same time.
Driving, but don't look at the road.
So what are the kinds of things Jason Statham would have to do?
I think like family get-togethers.
He would have to make babies laugh.
Yeah, great.
Right? That would be one way. And then your family get-togethers. But even family get-togethers cannot...
Well, that's why it has
unjoyful.
To be such a good get-together, you know? It has to be real, like, stress-free, kind of fun time with the family. Like, for once, everybody's having a good time. Everybody's laughing together, you know? We're ribbing each other, but not in a way that hurts.
Yeah, but I think you also have to move from one activity to another quite quickly because activities...
They lose their joyfulness. You don't want that period at the end of the family get together where everybody's fucking saying goodbye for 8 hours.
Yeah, no, you definitely don't want that.
Getting into the car, waving, goodbye again.
He would die during that. But if he stuck around,
yeah, he's dead.
Right.
Two minutes into that farewell, he's
and
dead.
If he was trying to leave before that, he would also have to leave even earlier before people start. He would have to ghost because people would start making him feel guilty for not.
For leaving.
For not doing a proper goodbye.
Yeah, or helping with the washing up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then he has to...
Which wouldn't be a problem if all the plates were made out of frozen dishwater. I suppose we'll just let these plates melt here, and then that'll be done. And then you could do these regular ceramic bowls in this melted plate.
Yeah.
I guess that's one of the joyful things he could do. He could introduce them to sort of frozen dishwater plates.
Is there a higher joy?
Is there a higher...
Remember the time when you first introduced your family to frozen dishwater plates?
I mean, but imagine the joy that he would get from having invented that. Because, the creative act like that
and introducing people to it. You'll find that the process of invention... is actually fraught with struggle.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to think about all the patent issues. You've got to go through the lengthy process to organize a manufacturer, distributor.
I'm not suggesting he's going to get it patented in this time. I don't think... I think really pure invention of he has the thought, he makes it straight away, and then he gets to...
He gets
to introduce people to it immediately... Throw some steamed broccoli on there.
You know, Alistair, I see what you're trying to do, but I'm starting to wonder if the Jason Statham crank joy version of Crank has room for this frozen dishwater plate idea.
He doesn't have time to think. It's just in some miracle. I guess we would have to set it up in the film because where does this idea come from? Right? People are complaining. He's he is just like, okay, so there's two people arguing.
Yeah.
One is like, I want to use these paper plates, right? One person is saying, well, let's just, that's bad for the environment. We got to use the crockery. Then the other person goes, well, this is, well, that's, you know, then we have to do all the washing up. Boom, that's where the thought comes from. He's just walking by, that's what he hears.
Yeah.
Right? Straight away, the idea comes to him fully formed.
Just so the mind of the viewer watching this scene unfold in this Jason Statham crank joy movie, seeing these people arguing over plates and wondering, how the fuck is this relevant?
Right.
That Alistair Tremblay Birchall, what an auteur.
Yeah, and then he's just walking by. Right? You see him walk past the door to the kitchen, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's got one of those kitchens, there's a door out onto the street that they keep open while they argue.
No, it's not, they're not strangers, they're family members. He's walking from one baby room to another baby room to make them laugh, okay? And then he walks past, you just see him go past as you hear. But then all the washing
up. You see,
up. He's
going past while this entire... How wide is the doorway?
Oh, well, there's also... It's like, you know, it's also one of those ones that has a... Like, has one of those windows into the hallway. But it's like, there's no window.
Sure,
it's just an open
thing. And he's walking quite slowly.
He's walking quite slowly.
To amuse a baby.
Well, because he's chuckling to himself from the last baby.
Sure,
he can still hear the baby's laugh
in the last room. Yeah.
Right? And then... He hears them say that whole... It's just three lines, Andy. It's just three lines. I want to use paper plates. Oh, that's bad for the environment. Let's just do this. Oh, but what about the washing up? He's already walked past, but he then doubles back.
We see a spark in his eye.
Yeah, well, you see him show back up in the door.
Yeah.
Like he goes...
Maybe he does a backflip so he can still get in some of his action stuff.
Fellas, I've got an idea. I've got the solution for this. He gets the tap running. He gets this kind of like...
He super cools a plate using liquid nitrogen.
Well, no, it's... I guess a plate would be the right way. For some reason, I was thinking of a shallow wok. People are like, why has he got this shallow wok out?
Mm.
Right? And then he... Or I guess it could just be a regular frying pan, because that's kind of what a plate mold would look like.
It is exactly what a plate mold would look like, especially if it was one of those pancake frying pans.
That's exactly what
he
gets
out. And then he's making
them.
He's got it super cooled there over a jet of liquid nitrogen that's being blasted out from something or other. He's chucking in a bit of water. Mm-hmm. He's tossing out these plates like they're pancakes.
Yeah, that's right. But they're it's not just water that he's putting in. He's also putting a bit of
detergent in there as well. Squirting it both in.
But
some people are catching these plates. They're laughing. He's laughing. Everybody's laughing.
The reason why he has the nitrogen, the liquid nitrogen, is because that was another joyful thing where he was freezing strawberries and then smashing them with a hammer.
Yeah. And the babies were laughing.
Laughing. He's getting their dummies. He's dipping those in the liquid, smashing those with a hammer.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's not just entertaining babies. There's a Nobel scientist there. He's doing some tricks with super cooled semiconductors, getting a superconductor going, levitating a block of neodymium.
Whoa, is it levitation or is it quantum locking?
It could be quantum locking.
That's probably,
if you're going to get the laureate laughing.
Yeah.
Do you think that the laughter of a baby seems a bit cheap. I think the laughter of a laureate is probably worth the laughter of 10,000 babies.
I know, but you don't start at the laureate.
No.
You know, if you're a joy dependent, right, you don't, you ease your way in by making some babies laugh.
No.
But with baby voice like that. You know that insane, like when they really get on a baby laugh roll?
Crazy.
Like that, yeah. And so then you start with that, and then you work your way out. At the end of the day, if you can even get a chuckle out of a laureate, that's joyful.
No. See, what I reckon is you start out on the laureates, on the pure, undiluted laughter of laureates.
Yeah.
And then, as you can no longer get the good stuff, you sort of slide down to the point where you're subsisting on the laughter of babies.
Oh, right.
It's worth... It's junk. It's like...
You're
chunky.
You're just...
What do they call it? Something... hillbilly heroin.
Oh, it's the hillbilly heroin of joy.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like you're tired at the end of the day. You need laughs that you can get out. You need joy that you can extract for smaller amounts of effort.
It's the microwave.
You jangle some keys.
A baby
sort of, you peekaboo. You you sort of like, you sneeze or you pretend to sneeze or something like that. They love it. You blow your nose. They get terrified. You go back to sneezing.
Yeah. And do you think this is sort of what happens to us as comedians? You know, like we... Well, I used to do gigs and, you know, I would sometimes have tens of people laughing at my stand-up comedy.
Of course.
Now I just have these two babies who'll laugh at anything.
Yeah.
You know? Like appearing from behind a thing. They knew I was there. I was there talking. I was making noises. I was going, ah. They knew I was there. Well, there's not even any real
surprise. I know, but
I think that sound
builds anticipation.
Right. That's really the setup of the...
It's like one of those things that even if you know what's going to happen, the body is satisfied by just the completion that comes after that. Because if you go, and then don't do anything afterwards, you get sort of internal blue balls.
Blue brain.
Yeah. Mm. Blue soul.
Wow. And that's how music was invented.
Really?
Rock music.
I guess coming up, almost vomiting is kind of close to that. Like that. And so if you don't vomit, you kind of get blue stomach.
Yep. Blue belly. How many ideas have we got so far, Alistair?
It's three ideas.
Is that really only three ideas?
Yeah.
God, there was just so much in shouting.
Yeah, there was a lot of shouting. I hope that's okay.
I think it's all right.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's okay, but I think it's all right.
It's acceptable?
Yeah, it'll pass. Yeah. I'll allow it. Is there just to take that idea again, and see if we can play with that in any other way. The thing about babies and the laughter of babies.
Mm.
I wonder if there is something about somebody being addicted to that, or
it just like stands outside of like daycare centers and things like that, like through, you know, peek-a-booing through the fence or whatever, and just kind of like going, hey, blah, 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 to the babies.
I mean, it's creepy.
Yeah.
But if the babies are laughing and he's having a good time.
Yeah, but I guess he would kind of have like a rundown appearance because he's just going from fix to fix. Yeah.
Or somebody like, and I mean, this isn't any really different to our Jason Statham Joy movie. But somebody who is addicted to bringing joy, you know, to making people happy, to generosity, you know.
Yeah, I guess, what was that thing that you brought up earlier? Yeah, I mean, somebody's addicted to generosity, so they just keep... Do they start stealing their friends' belongings so that they can give those away?
Give them to someone else?
Yeah.
To redistribute them amongst their friends?
Is that kind of like what an altruist is?
Possibly, yeah. I thought that was a kind of a big bird. A wandering altruist.
I guess like that, was that albatross?
Yeah, I mean, like... it's just not much, is it?
I mean, it was okay, Andy. But it was just for some reason when you say big bird, I think of like a emu or like an ostrich or something like that. Whereas those are kind of like a wide.
They're
bird.
A wide bird.
Yeah. You know, it's the span. You know. I mean, even though every one of your features has its own span, each one of your dimensions has its own span, we really think of span to being associated with width. But, you know, height has its own span.
Height's a span.
The span of your height.
Yeah. Do you think we call a spanner, because it spans the bolt that you're using using the spanner to tighten? Could be something to think about.
I mean,
bring it up at Christmas. I mean, ask your dad.
It's a rotational span.
These are like the worst topics of conversation. We call the spanner a spanner because it spans the width of the bolt.
Oh, that could be it, though.
This is one of the ones Remember we were talking about pickup lines for your for dads? It was like if you wanted to get closer to your dad.
Mm.
Remember this?
Oh, yeah.
It was a premise that may or may not have come up on the podcast.
Yeah, I think so. I think
if you wanted to get closer to your dad, you know, you sidle up to your dad in a bar.
Yeah.
How do you open a conversation? I reckon this would be one of those classic dad pickup lines. You know, you're estranged from your father. You want to take him home.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a wrench one. You know, when you go get your wrench out of the toolbox, do you really set up, just pull it out like it's... No, I'm trying to describe wrenching, but I don't know, that doesn't really...
Yeah, I think the connection between the word wrench and the word wrenching is probably more firmly established than the one between spanner and span.
Yeah, you're right.
That was another doorbell ring. Are we going to get the door?
No, but I did hear the door, that somebody opened the door.
Oh, thank God.
And I warned the people upstairs, they're like... We're not going to be answering any more doors.
Did you actually say that?
Yes.
You say, I will not be.
I mean, we're downstairs doing a podcast. We're already displaced.
Yes.
We're not going
to
be...
Through no fault of our own. How were we to know that we hadn't checked the calendar?
And not booked in the podcast.
And not booked in the podcast.
But we're not going to let that stop us.
From feeling aggrieved?
From making a low quality sound, disrupted podcast.
Well, I think there's a lot of talk these days about victims, victimhood. Who's playing the victim, right? And very often it seems to me that the people who accuse people of acting like victims are acting like victims. And I think that as... Mm. You know, as white, privileged white men.
Yeah.
Really, we are the victims.
Victims.
Of sort of people. I don't fucking know what I'm saying. I'm trying to somehow say that having to check the calendar to see if we booked the podcast studio is sort of an infringement on our rights, or is political correctness gone mad?
Yeah.
Or we are the victims here.
I agree. It's just I was writing down at the beginning of what you were saying, and so then I was really hoping that you were going to re-summarize what you were saying during your talking, so that I could understand what you were where you were going.
Sure. Yeah. No, that would have made sense. If I was going anywhere, that is exactly what I would have done.
I've written down latter day joy addict or generosity addict, because I think maybe. You know, obviously this Jason Statham movie with Crank But Joy, that is sort of, you would probably have to set that early on, you know, like you would have to establish why he has to do this, why, you know, I think he gets poisoned or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he has to get through a day and then get the antidote.
Does he get cursed by a witch? Is he cursed by a witch in that movie? Cranked?
I don't think so. I think maybe there was some underworld figures or
witches?
Something like that. I mean, look, witches are underworld figures, and you know, caves are kind of an underworld of sorts. You know,
and witches sometimes go near caves.
You know what I read today?
Yes.
That there's a shitload of water in the mantle.
Really?
Yeah. So like possibly more than there is in the oceans.
That's crazy.
Because, I mean, I guess it's all moving around in there, right? Like, because, I mean, if it was all pure rock, even if molten rock, right, you wouldn't imagine there'd be just that much movement.
Right, but hang on. You're saying that it's the water in the mantle that could be what is causing the continents and the tectonic plates to move around?
All right, that is definitely my own flourish in there.
Yeah. Because I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think it takes something like 4 billion years to like, or like something like that, to move from like the center of the Earth up until...
Right.
Like up, you know, from one edge to another, or from the center to an edge or whatever.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, yeah. There's not quick movement. There's not blah, blah, blah. But if there was water in there, and I don't know what state this water would be in.
Yeah.
But I think under pressure, there's
weird
different...
I'd say it's stressed.
I would say it's stressed water. Probably even steam.
Yeah, could be.
Which is the most stressed water. I think plasma is probably the most stressed water. Mm. But then you're unrecognizably water. So then I don't even know if you can claim it to be water if it's plasma, right?
Yeah, correct.
But then on, under high pressure, water would boil at a higher temperature, right? No, lower temperature.
Don't know.
I don't remember these things, but I think
it's a lower temperature. I think because that means that as you climb up Mount Everest, it takes longer to boil your eggs.
That means higher temperature.
It's one of the reasons it's so hard to climb Mount Everest.
Because you can't.
No, it's because the higher you go up, the longer it takes to boil eggs, right? And so you think you'd be able to make a certain amount of progress up the mountain. Like you factor in, you're like, oh, we'll be able to at least walk.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A kilometer a day.
Yeah.
But you're not factoring in the egg boiling time.
That's right.
You start the morning, you start boiling the eggs. The eggs aren't boiled by 10:30, right? Mm-hmm. So you eat your eggs, you pack everything up, you start walking, but before you know it, it's lunchtime. You got to boil your eggs again.
You're back boiling eggs, You know, and then it's like 3 p.m. And then
3 p.m.
And then the weather's gotten bad.
Yeah.
You know, because really the wind picks up after about 9 a.m.
Yeah. So 3 p.m., you've had your lunch, your eggs, right? And the weather's gotten bad. What are you going to do? Just get back in the... It's time to just retire to the tent and start boiling dinner.
Boiling some eggs.
Is that a sketch? I feel like it definitely is.
Look,
if I can answer my own question.
Okay, I'm going to write it down.
I think a...
It's good to just have one that's not joy addiction based.
Yeah. I think that this... Like, I would put... You know how we're talking about having a science fiction, science sketch, TV comedy sketch show out?
Yeah.
I had an idea, and this is the place to pitch it. I'd like each episode to have a theme.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought one of the themes could, like...
Could be pressure.
Or water, right? Yeah. If there was an episode themed around water, I'd like a sketch to this effect of people trying to climb Mount Everest and the fact that they're, for some reason, all they were eating is boiled eggs.
And they didn't pre-pack. They pre-packed fresh eggs.
Yeah, of course.
They just brought a dozen. Like, they got all their bags and stuff, but they're also just in their hand just carrying a dozen. This should be good for about 4 days. Or like,
I love it that this insanely difficult mountaineering feat is not only made more difficult by the length of time it takes to boil the eggs, but also the fact that they're carrying fucking eggs.
Fresh eggs.
Yeah,
look, I do love the idea of... Look, it's definitely... At first it was just silly.
Yeah.
But now you're picturing guys carrying cartons of eggs and... Yeah. And I think that there's some depth to it, Andy. You
know? Thank you. And some height to it as well.
Altitude, at least, yeah.
Yeah, sure, altitude.
I mean, I guess, what is the difference between altitude and height? Is altitude just sort of big height? Is it pretentious height?
Yeah, I think so. It's height, but for the elite.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where... You and me, Al, the regular
floke...
Floke
like you and me.
Queer as floke.
Yeah.
We're only interested.
What a reference to a TV show no one has talked about for 12 years.
Thanks. Yeah, to pull that out of.
Yeah. Floke music would be the thing that would be right on brand for me.
No. I always assumed that Queer as Folk was about folk music. Am I wrong?
People who are
just strumming mandolins.
Silly for folk music. I mean, I'm just absolutely...
Whack-a-da-doo!
Whack-a-da-doo! For a little bit of From Little Things, Big Things Grow.
There you go.
This land is my land.
Yep. I can't remember what we were saying. It doesn't matter.
Folk.
Yep. Anyway...
one, two, three, four, five.
Five ideas, and we have three words from a listener.
We have three...
a hearer of the podcast.
Hearer of the podcast.
Yeah.
Dearest hearer, Kevin Packrad, or Packrad.
Or Packrad.
Or Packrad.
Or Packrad.
Or Packrad.
Or Kevin.
Or maybe he's one of those guys who writes his name backwards, you know, as a online so that he can't be traced. So that would be...
Darpak.
Darpak. Yeah.
No, Darkap.
Darkap.
Darkap's, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Dark App. Sounds like something that Hackers. You could find on the, find you know, on Silk Road or something like that. Silk Road. Not the real Silk Road.
No.
If you're on a camel walking the original Silk Road trade, trade route.
Yes.
Right?
And I am selling
electronic software for smartphones. Something's fucked up.
Right. What about this? It's a bloke down at the market, right? Mm. He's got a whole lot of boxes in the back of his van. They're covered with black sheets, right? You go down there, you give him $10, he'll give you a DVD of tweets.
Right? Of tweets.
He's just burned a whole lot of tweets.
Of just
like all of Stephen Fry's tweets or something onto a DVD, and you can take that home. You can watch those on your computer.
So is it just like him scrolling through Stephen Fry's?
I think they're in some kind of a text file or something like
that.
So
you can't even play it on your regular DVD player. You just got to go onto your computer.
Oh, maybe you can play it on a DVD player, Alistair, if that's the fucking detail that you're going to talk about. If you think that's the interesting angle for this to go down, then yes. You play it on a DVD player.
Oh, man, I think they could have a discussion. So can I just play this on a DVD player? You go,
no.
Well, I mean, if you had saved them maybe as like
MP.
A sort of a text-to-voice kind of thing, MP3, I could play it in the car because that's one of the only places I really have a sort of CD player type thing.
Yeah.
No, I haven't done that. Oh, well, even like a lot of computers these days don't even have like DVD players on them.
Well,
I mean, a thumb drive would have made sense. I'll take this all into account for next time. I mean, to be honest, you could have just emailed them to me. How big a file is? How many DVD? How many tweets have you got on here?
7. It's a really bad compression algorithm.
Yeah.
Each tweet is 4 gigabytes.
Yeah, it makes them much bigger.
Is that a thing? The opposite of a compression algorithm?
An expansion algorithm. Yeah. Yeah, like these are high quality images, really high quality screen caps of
tweets. I mean, why would you want that? What is the value to an expansion algorithm?
I mean, but you could do that through taking a photo of the screen, so if you were in front of your computer and you were scrolling through Stephen Fry's Twitter, and then you had like a.
You're
like a 24 megapixel, you know, Canon, you know, A5.
This is all really good. You sound exactly what you're talking about.
You know, you got a 36 gigabyte memory card in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you take a photo of just the screen, like that. That's an expansion algorithm.
Yeah.
But then what you could do is you could, instead of doing that, you could make a bit of software that emulates doing that same thing.
Yeah.
And then you could just sell that maybe for $1.99.
People love emulators.
Yeah, people love an emulator. I mean, it worked, you know, it's worked well with sort of pedals, electronic pedals for music.
Mm.
You know, instead of using that actual analog, you know, wires
valves and
shit like that, you just get something, you know, a bit of software that emulates that and then we could do that, you know. So it's like, well, you don't even need to buy a Canon now because you're saving people $3,000. It's just an expansion algorithm.
Well, we sorted that out.
Is that that's not a sketch, is it?
I think an expansion algorithm, there could be something in there, but I think the sort of the process required to make it unless there's a reason for it.
Who would this be for?
I don't know.
I don't think ants would like this.
No, ants would hate this. Well, I mean, there is a joke to be made about the kind of people who are obsessed with quality, right? Who, like, want their music in such and such format.
Yeah.
FLAC format or Neil Young with his Pono audio player that's, like, you know, studio quality audio.
Yeah.
in a thing that doesn't fit comfortably in your pocket. How did that not go well? Anyway.
But is it still going?
I don't know if Pono's still around. Might be. I mean, I want good things for Neil Young.
It's definitely fits in your pocket better than that thing where he would just have two barns. He had two barns of speakers.
Really?
Wasn't that like he had a barn and a house or whatever, and he would just, and he took somebody, I think it was that story that he took some music reviewer out onto his lake.
Yeah.
Like that, to listen to maybe, Harvest or something like that. And he had turned one of his barns and his house into a full speaker itself. And so then they row out into the middle of this lake. And then they start playing it, and he's like, "More barn!" That's what he's yelling out to whoever was controlling it on this.
I feel a little bit like you've told me that story, but it's great and it bears repeating.
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly, you're right. The Pono fits better into your pocket than Neil Young's entire ranch barn system.
Yeah. But I mean, that would have been probably what he was aiming for initially.
Yeah. So they whittled it down. Someone in R&D. Talk some sense into him.
Yeah.
So there could be a sketch taking the piss out of people who want things in high quality.
Sure.
If people want their tweets in high quality.
Res, yeah.
There's like a format that you can get it in.
Tweet connoisseurs.
Yeah.
Content doesn't even really matter because it's all about just seeing it at the best possible res.
Mm. I mean, write it down. You may as well, right?
Yeah. Look, I think this is still the germ of an idea, but yeah. I think you definitely turned it more into something.
Thank you, Alistair. I mean, is there also the idea of like a tweet coming out at IMAX or something like that? Like the new Kanye West tweet.
I mean, this is where it could go.
Viewable at IMAX.
Yeah.
You know, it's an elite tweet experience. So it's like a... Because at the moment, now that we've got rid of net neutrality... Maybe people are able to like release tweets that are harder to view, more expensive to view. It's a tweet experience where if you want to read it, you've got to go and spend $80 to go and see it on the big screen at IMAX, possibly in 3D.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think and he has a viewing party.
Yeah.
You know, he does that now. You know.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool if you could have a tweet that has like a. Like an album cover, like a tweet cover.
Mm.
You know, like a...
Sure.
You know, like... Because that's the thing is that there's no... You know, other formats of art have their own kind of culture around it that, you know, you get an artist in to do the front cover. You know, you might... You got the notes on the inside that can say things about, you know, how you came about.
Put it in some cultural context.
Get all the people, you know, you're crediting all the people that were involved. With the tweet, you're just kind of, here's the tweet. It's like handing somebody a piece of paper.
It's
just whatever.
Yeah, where's the artistry? Where's the ritual? Mm. Where's the, you know, like...
I like a physical with thing vinyl.
Exactly. I think that's great. Yeah. Somebody who's got like a vinyl collection has a collection of tweets and they've all been... printed out onto some kind of a Perspex. They're all in a little individual cover.
Plastic.
And you get them out and you put them onto like some kind of light board on the wall, you know.
And you read them like that.
You read them like that. Then you take them down again. You go get the next one out.
It's a sort of a, I don't know, it's a more personal way of doing it.
It's richer. It's more sort of
it's got a
immersive,
warmer, yeah, it's
warmer,
got a warmer
yeah.
feel to it. It takes you away from the... Sort of the mind altering, like all the buttons and all the ads and things like that, you know, in
the distractions.
The Twitter app and things
yeah,
like
and
that.
It used to be, you know, with vinyl, people would listen to a whole album. Mm. Now with, you know, tweets, people just read a tweet.
Mm.
They don't read the entirety of somebody's tweets in.
Mm.
Sequence.
That's right.
You know, in the proper sequence that they chose to release those tweets in.
Yeah.
I've gone with chronological as the sequence that I'm releasing my tweets in. But, you know, other people might have a different sort of philosophy.
Sure.
Some people might release their tweets alphabetically. I think that'd be great.
I've recently been considering doing a series of a series of stand-up shows that are all themed on every letter of the alphabet.
Alistair, I think that's great, and I think you'll do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a, if it takes 26 years, right, there's a chance that by the end of the 26 years, there might be a new letter.
What would it take to get one in?
I mean, I think there's a chance that they could bring in some of the old, the older letters.
That funny S.
Ampersand used to be part of the alphabet. It was a 27th letter.
Really? And it was pronounced ampersand?
No, the thing is that it was called, I think, and. No, it was like, I can't know. I can't, there's something in there where it's like, it was X, Y, Z, and purse sand. Like, there's a weird history to that where how we were ending the alphabet.
So
is
it was
also,
it was on the very end of the alphabet.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. Right. And, it was, and is it true that it got kicked out of the alphabet for like behavioral issues? Like
I believe
drug,
so, yeah.
Drug and abuse?
And, I think it was because it looked too much like an eight. And so they were like, what are you, man? A letter or a fucking number?
Prejudice is a terrible
prejudice,
thing.
Yeah.
All right, Alistair, what are our three words from our Kevin Packrad?
Kevin Packrad, dark, dark cap. His three words are Jess.
Oh,
Dave,
okay. I see where this is going.
And Matt.
Jess, Dave, and Matt, obviously the hosts of the Do Go On podcast on the Planet Broadcasting Network.
I think he's a. I think maybe Kevin Packrad might be an agent of Do Go On, who's trying to influence our
we're
podcast.
We're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing that thing where we're promoting other people's podcasts from the Planet Broadcasting.
Well, we're
network.
We're doing it through these people who have infiltrated our listenership, our hearership.
Yeah, you think he might be like a sleeper agent or like a...
I mean, he's not sleeping. He's active. He's an active...
He's been activated by whatever the keyword was
he's
that
been
they
ra-
slipped into the planet.
He's been radicalized by Do Go On.
Yeah.
And he's actively...
He's been pack radicalized.
Yeah. And he's actively putting attacks... But also what
he's
you would call...
He's a Kev insurgent who's been pack radicalized. The clues are in the name.
That's right. He's
We're
basically,
not fucking idiots.
He's basically spelling it out for us.
Yeah.
So we got Jess, Dave, and Matt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know the Do Go On podcast.
I do know it, yeah. So they come up with...
Five sketch ideas.
no, wait. they do a report on a on a story, you know, on a, like an old story, usually from the past. That's what I've noticed. I haven't seen them do any futuristic.
Well, I imagine they will when they've used up all the stories from the past.
Yeah, once they've done that, but you know, there's at least they've still got at least a year in them, so they don't even have to start contemplating that.
Yeah.
Now. But I think the idea of a future historian, a historian of the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not a futurist. Not somebody who's predicting what's going to happen.
No.
Once, I guess this would be happen once there's time machines.
Yeah, yeah.
You can have people who go and study the future and write books about it in the present and tell us about what it's going to be like. Because we're never as individuals going to be able to... be able to all go experience what the future is going to be like and all the periods of future. So I suppose somebody would go into the far, far future and then just get one of their historical books.
Yeah, yeah, right. Right.
That they've written about a past
yes.
like that. And then they can come back and they could just release that here. I don't know if they'll still have books.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be interesting like rights issues. You know, because are they plagiarizing or did they come up with it first because of the passage of time?
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
Can they then sue the people in the future for plagiarism?
But then also bringing that book back could change what the future will be. So
yeah, they'll have to do a new release, a new, an updated issue.
Well, that's right. So essentially they're releasing a book, which is a historical document of a place that can no longer exist due to this document.
Well,
that
then
has been...
it'll become fiction.
Then it becomes fiction. So I think initially...
Which is a really great, cheap way to get fiction, right?
That's true, yeah.
And then, what'll that mean? Like, if we're able to just get fiction for nothing, speculative fiction for nothing, will that just, like, totally destroy the fiction market?
Well, I think it can't be speculative fiction because it's actually... It's like reflective fiction, you know, that because the speculative fiction could also, because we've seen things in speculative fiction, which is just sci-fi,
yeah,
and like fantasy and things like that, but that have influenced the future,
mm,
right? So things like Minority Report that have changed the way people design
Tom Cruise,
you know, Tom Cruise's outfits, you know, gloves. Why would he need, you know? Anyway, but like that have that have changed the way people. I think Microsoft was trying to design a window tablet of some sort,
yeah,
that would move the way that you would have in Minority Report. So that affects the future. But then I guess so does the reflective thing. It still affects the future, but in a negative way. So in a negative way in that it changes it from what it was going to be.
Yes. Yes. So, but my thought was then, like, if you can then just go get history from the future,
mm-hmm,
bring it back here, it changes the future, you've got some free fiction,
yeah,
right? Fiction is now worthless, right?
Well, like, it's
because
already,
anyone can get it.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like, you know, like manufacturing diamonds, mm, right? That the, now that we can make diamonds artificially,
yeah,
if they weren't already worthless, they are now.
Yeah.
And now that we can just take future facts, bring them back here, turn them in, process them into fiction. I mean,
yeah,
what's the point of your novel?
Well, I think it's easy. I think it's easy to paint and dismiss it, but I think it'll still be difficult to come across some good fiction.
Right, because the future histories aren't all necessarily going to be interesting.
Because one of the reasons that you would read a boring historical book,
yes,
is because you know these things have happened.
Right? Yes.
And so you'll plow through and you'll go, ho, 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 stranger than fiction. But it's not really, because it's all very based in reality. And that's just, you just need to change how what you think of as strange.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I like to read historical books, like things about like the sinking of the Titanic.
Mm.
I like to read them and just feel smarter than all the people on the Titanic.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
I know that I wouldn't have got on the Titanic, and I know how it's going to end, and all these fucking idiots have got no idea.
Yeah.
So I am just laughing the whole time. At the end of each page, I'm like,
you should.
I wouldn't have done that.
I felt about, like, I do the same thing with World War II books.
Yeah, great.
But there's also an element of these books, you could also be laughing at these people and how their lives may no longer exist. So it's like, because these, as you read this historical future text, you're changing the course of history through the act of reading and learning about it, changing potentially your own decisions. You might be mentioned in the book. That's the thing, is that you could be mentioned in the book saying that you're going to do a certain thing.
And then you go, no, I'm not.
Not anymore. And then all these people who are in the book may not be born because you change your breeding patterns.
Breeding patterns.
Yeah.
I have breeding patterns. Do you have breeding patterns?
I do have some breeding. I do it. Currently, I do it once every 32 years.
Yeah, okay, sure.
But, you know, who's to say what happens in the next 5 to 10 years?
My pattern is so far 2 babies, then 1 baby.
Yeah.
2, 1. And
so,
then...
Ooh, I wonder what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Sort of a, could be -1, could be 0.
Yeah.
At the moment, you're minusing 1, but you're also dividing it by 2.
Dividing by 2, half a baby.
Half a baby next time. Which is okay these days.
Half a baby?
I think so.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's probably all that we can afford.
So, is the future, look, I think the future history books become current fiction is sort of an idea.
It's sort of an idea.
I think within that, we could definitely write a sketch.
Sure.
I think in that framework...
Oh, yeah. We haven't precluded... What we've come up with here is certainly a space in which a sketch could exist.
Yeah. The comedy isn't necessarily built directly in.
But who said... We never said that was the case.
No.
No. We never promised this. Any of these would be funny.
No, yeah.
Is this anything, Alistair?
Yeah.
As it gets more and more expensive to have children... Right, and they've come up with technology now where you can have three genetic parents of the one child.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they'll mix the DNA together, and you'll get one
baby
out of three parents. Finally, that's what we were all crying out for, right? But do you think that in the future, as resources deplete, people have less money, population gets higher, that like it'll now be like a sort of a timeshare arrangement, right? Where Alistair, you guys and us, we won't be able to afford to have our own children, but we can each sort of half contribute to one child, and then we'll sort of share a baby that's like four people's DNA.
Yeah, I mean, four people would still, it's not that much of a timeshare. Like,
that's true. And it's actually, you know, in terms of four people parenting one child, not really all that unheard of. But let's, you know, we get out there, you know.
But let's say it was 16.
Yeah.
16, then you're getting some time off.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't think you all have to live in the same household.
Yep.
You know, maybe you could just live in different suburbs, things like that. You know, you have, I don't know if it's a week on, week off, you know, or week on, 15 weeks off kind of scenario.
I mean, that's starting to sound doable.
I think maybe in the book, an alien, with the word, you know, have you ever read it's a sci-fi book where the guy talks about Gronk? I Gronk that.
Oh,
man from another planet.
Is it the Neuro something? Neuromancer?
Not Neuromancer, that's Gibson. Right. That's William. Anyway, this guy, I think he comes from Mars, and he gronks things. I think it means understand. But anyway, and then I think in that he does talk about, maybe in their culture they do just go to everybody. It's like a village raising a family. Yeah. But look, the timeshare thing, look, I think it's definitely an idea. It would be, I think you could have like an ad for that.
Yeah.
That could be funny.
Yeah. Great.
You know,
once again, we haven't ruled out comedy in this scenario.
Time share baby.
I mean,
because it's like the opposite of a timeshare condo, in that, you know, with a condo you kind of take turns on having holidays, whereas this you take turns in having sort of draining, you know, waiting while a kid plays with cars.
If we got every human being on Earth's DNA, mixed all of that together and made a baby, right? We all had one baby. Yeah. Do you think that we'd all get along? Because, you know, parents...
Parents always
get along. Always get along.
Yeah. Yeah, that's historically accurate. Well, my wonder is if we got all the DNA and put it into, you know, put it into... Like one woman sort of carried it, or maybe, you know, I don't know if at this point we had like an artificial way of doing it.
Sure, yeah.
My hope would be that we would get this beautiful human, this perfect, beautiful human. I don't know if the perfect human has to be beautiful.
Interesting question. I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes?
Yeah, and I'm going to say it's Western standards of beauty as well. I'm referring exclusively to the male gaze.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Perfect. What I would hope from this kind of scenario is that then there was an accidental second baby that they didn't expect.
Yes.
Made up of all the junk.
Wow.
The junk leftover DNA, which would be a lot. There'd be a lot of leftover DNA if you had everybody's DNA.
Yep.
Right? And then we could finally get a sequel to the movie Twins. But, you know, but a worldwide one.
Yeah.
That you know, this baby that was supposed to be made in an attempt to reunite. Possibly this is done through an Ancestry.com style thing where they get the rights to everybody's DNA because everybody just wanted to find out what percentage Bolivian they are or whatever, you know. And then they get the rights to everybody's DNA. They also have a copy, potentially, of everybody's DNA.
Yeah.
And then they just make a baby.
Because what else are they going to do?
Reunite the world.
I think that it would be really interesting to then, like, how would we parent this child? Well, we'd probably have to come up with some sort of one world parenting council, kind of like the United Nations, where every country elects a representative and they go there. And then we have, like, powers of veto. And then we have various different councils within that group.
Powers of veto and Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito. Thank you very much for listening. I think that's funny.
You know who wouldn't like this is InfoWars.
Yeah?
Yeah, they would think New World Order kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know who else wouldn't like this? ants, because it's the opposite of the way they organize their society.
That's true. And
the ants, it's one parent of all the children. This is all the parents of one children. So sorry, ants, but we're not just here to, you know, make you guys happy.
No, that's right. There's things in this for you. You know, high quality tweet, boiling eggs on Everest. I mean, you know, a big part of eggs is the parts that you throw away, mm-hmm. right? And when you throw away when you try to peel a boiled egg,
yeah.
right? A lot of the time, some of the egg comes off on the shell.
Do you reckon ants give a fuck about that? Do you think ants are interested in eating albumin? I don't know that they are.
No, wait, is albumin the shell?
The white stuff?
The white stuff. I don't think they have a choice to fuss. They would just be like, oh, this is food. Like
carbs and stuff.
But they don't like protein? You're telling me an animal that's out there exercising every day isn't hooked on protein?
Can lift 10 times its own weight?
Doesn't love protein? I'm sorry, but I doubt your conclusions, Andrew.
Wow. I mean, we've been doing this podcast now for, I don't know, like 4 years. That's the first time you've doubted my conclusions.
Yeah, well, it was bound to happen eventually, Andrew.
All right, Al, take us through what we've come up with.
We got gamesmanship of the voice. People who are figuring out ways of gaming the voice, get people to turn around. So without being a good singer.
Just through intrigue.
Yeah.
Or like projecting something disgusting on the far wall.
If you made the sound of lots of liquid falling.
Yeah, or money falling out of somebody's pocket.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That always gets my attention.
Absolutely, yeah.
Some coins.
A dog barking? If there was a dog barking and you were waiting for somebody to sing.
You would turn around thinking, a dog's got in here.
Yeah.
And somebody get that dog out, and then bam, they're through to the next round.
That's right.
And you have to coach them.
Yeah. You know, if you did one of those versions of that, you know, that Christmas song that they do with the dogs, is it?
Yeah, one of those things that they do.
Anyway, second sketch idea. Why don't they make the whole floor out of mop? I mean, this is absolutely high quality comedy thing right here. You know, why don't they make the whole premise out of false conclusions?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Then we got the crank, but with joy. This is Jason Statham. He has to sustain maximum, absolute, ecstatic joy for a day, so that he can get the, I don't know, the antidote to this witch's curse.
So what's he doing? He's reuniting long-lost identical twins.
Triplets. He's at the airport, and he's bringing the pets of servicemen.
Oh, my God, yes.
He's bringing them back. He's watching them reunite, but he's also petting both of them at the same time.
Rubbing that serviceman on his big furry belly.
On his big furry back.
That's right, they don't have a furry belly.
They're servicemen.
What has a furry
belly? They've been dragging themselves through the earth.
Mm-hmm. If they had a furry belly, it's all been worn away.
It's all been worn away like the side of a leg on pants.
He's giving the serviceman a freshly woven belly wig.
Exactly. A belly merkin.
That's part of the return service merkin program.
I'm writing that down.
Oh, fuck. I'll tell you what. It's probably a more solid sketch than some of the other shit we've written down today.
That's great. Then we got the latter-day joy addict or generosity addict. So it could be somebody who's addicted to making babies laugh or whatever, and he has to find ways of getting that fix all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a different enough or an interesting enough thing.
But then there's also the generosity addict, a guy who has to just loves giving things away, you know? And what you would have to do.
Yeah, I mean, when you get to the point where you're just in the gutter.
Giving.
In the gutter.
The
giving,
greatest joy giving. Is giving, Andy, but at some point you don't have anything left.
Yeah, what do you do? You're in the gutter scraping skin cells off for the ants. Ants would love that.
The skin. Do they have skin off their ants?
Off you, you know.
You're giving it
flakes,
to ants.
You're giving it to the ants. That's how generous you are.
But at some point you're giving away all your time. You're giving away, you know, you're giving away all your money. You're giving away
all your great ideas.
All your great ideas.
Speaking of great ideas, what's the next sketch?
We've got boiling eggs on Everest. You know, it's a lower pressure. It takes longer to boil.
That's why it's so hard.
It's so hard. You're carrying a dozen eggs in your hand. You can't even use your... You got a pickaxe in one hand. You got a dozen eggs in the other.
You know, Sir Edmund Hillary was a beekeeper, right, in New Zealand, an apiarist, right? And when he was asked why he climbed Everest, he said, because it was there. But I reckon the answer was, really, to get away from the fucking bees.
Yeah, that buzzing.
I reckon he was just sick of the bees. Where's further away from bees?
That's true, top of Everest.
You're not getting any bees up there.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of, you know, there's also no food, there's no beautiful flowers, there's no vegetation up there, and this is it's a window into the future that we could see if we let these bees die out.
Yeah,
it'll be the top of Everest everywhere.
That's right.
High quality tweet appreciation appreciators. You know, these people, these real, like, they're basically audiophiles, but for tweetiophiles.
I feel like this is a real classic two in the think tank.
This is a classic two in the tank.
Oh, this is so us, you know?
Then we got the future historical current fiction books, which are, you know, people who go into the future to just get their history books, bring them back, sell them as history books initially, because that's what they are, future history.
As soon as they come out, as soon as you get it in your hands, it's fiction. Then, it's like driving a car off the lot. It loses a lot of its value.
I think after its first week, you just have to shift it to the fiction section.
Yeah, fiction section.
Then we got the timeshare baby. It's a worldwide timeshare baby.
let's attribute this one to the Jess, Dave and Matt clues. Based on those clues, we came up with a worldwide timeshare baby.
Yeah. I mean, we also came up with future historical current fiction.
Yeah, right.
And then we got the return service merkin for the guys who have been dragging their bellies in the dirt for, you know, months and months, and then they come home and their bellies are...
And these old women have been knitting them.
That's right. While the men have been gone. They cry, and this is actually the first time they're able to actually let out their emotions and actually first start talking about the war, and that it actually reduces the incidences of PTSD.
I think a return service merkin has holes for the nipples.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So the you know, your sort of pink nips can sort of hang through there.
Yeah, your sort of light red areolas. Some nipples are very strange colors.
Oh, nipples are all sorts of interesting colors. I think pink is probably very wrong of me to say that.
I mean, look, but you know, even in the white range of, you know, white nipples, you know what I mean, not white nipples, but, you know, sort of fair-skinned nippled men or women,
fair-skinned nipplemen,
you get a huge range of
huge range of
shades. I think I think there'd be it'd be nice to just do some paintings, like be an artist who does paintings only in the nipple color range. You know, never veering outside of that, but you know, always staying with. You know, I don't know. I think. Do you think people would pick it up?
That your palette is really limited
to nipple colors.
Yeah, I think they would.
I think there would be no blues. See, it would be a blueless artistry.
This guy. Just realized he only paints in the colors of nipples. He only draws from the nipple palette.
Can I'm gonna let you start wrapping the podcast up, bing bing boom bing ba ding bing, while I go answer the door, because
watch your foot Alistair, you're tripping over the fucking oh good god. I mean, that was, what a way to end the podcast, with Al leaping away with a microphone cable wrapped around his leg. All right. Bing 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 bing
bing bing
bing bing bing bing bing bing bing bing bing bing bing bing bing bing
bing bing bing bing bing bing.
We are at Two in Tank. Thank you to everyone who's been supporting us on Patreon and getting in touch on Patreon. A lot of people really enjoyed the latest bonus episode, which you get at the $8 tier if you sign up for the overflow tank.
Mm-hmm.
$8 a month, you get two extra episodes a month of Two in the Think Tank. And the latest one was from a suggestion from Daniel on Twitter. And he asked us to come up with five sketch toy ideas.
No, sex toy
ideas. I can't tell the difference anymore between sketch and sex.
He wanted us to come up with five sex toy ideas.
And
but not too many wishy-washy ones where, you know, you get...
emotional, you know, satisfaction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. None of that. He's like, just stuff that you shove inside of yourself or whatever.
And I think, you know,
I think we I think we definitely had some stuff like that.
Yeah, and people who have listened seem to really enjoy it. It was a lot of fun.
One hearer said that he thought that maybe it was better than the regular podcast.
So that's just so you know, we're keeping the good stuff
behind the paywall.
Yeah,
this is what this whole venture has been about.
And just to go back to parenting, that's what I'm doing with my kids. Right?
Great.
I'm keeping all the good stuff behind a paywall. If those kids really want to be raised right, it's a user pays model. You know, it's freemium. You know, you get the basic, get the basic parenting, like sustenance for free. And then if you want a strong bond, that's going to cost you.
This is App Dad.
App Dad.
And also you should know that we
love
you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.